Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Shiur today 6 lines from the top. At the end of the line, you will notice a diamond around Abaye. This represents the continuation of a series that started on our previous daf, on daf Beis Amid Beis, where we had explained that there are 5 shitos coming to explain our Mishnah. We pointed out that our Mishnah had an inherent difficulty. It opened up with the expression Hakol Shochatin, which is an expression that indicates something that's called Lechatchila, that is, indicates all are suitable for Shechita on a lechatchila basis, meaning everyone is acceptable, 100% acceptable. Then it says, Ushchitasan Kshera. That expression indicates something that's good post facto, or we can say b'di'evid, that if something was done, then we can say it's okay. So how can you in one breath say Hakol Shochatin, and then say, regarding those people that you said are good, lechatchila ushchitason, and their shchita is kshera, is good post facto? We saw Rabo Bar Ula's explanation that actually broke up the two phrases as referring to 2 separate incidents, 2 separate examples. Hakol shochtin, he had explained, is even someone who is tome is able to shecht chulin lechatchila. And ushchitason kshera means those people who are tome that happened to shecht Kochim, that would be okay post facto, b'di'evit. We now turn to today's Gemara, Abaye Omar. We've indicated in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, this is a number 2, a second shot. 3, 4, and 5 will follow. Abaye says, Hochi kotoni, thusly one is to understand the Mishnah. Hakol shochatin v'afilu kusi. Everyone can shecht, even a kusi. The Kusi is a person from a people who converted to Judaism under questionable circumstances. So this Gemara is taking for granted that the Kusi, even though the conversion was under, we'll say, somewhat spurious or questionable circumstances, nevertheless his Shechita is acceptable. Bamed v'mamurim, under what circumstances do we say that he can shecht lichatchila? Kishisrael omeid al gabov, when he is being overseen by a Jewish individual, a Jewish person watching him do the shechita, that will ensure that his shechita is done properly. Avol yotzei v'nichnas lo yishchot. At this point, we are now going to explain the second phrase, the ushchitasin kshira, namely the b'di'evit section of the Mishnah, is saying that the kusi, under yotzei v'nichnas circumstances, he should lechatchila not shecht. Yotzei v'nichnas means that the Jewish supervisor is not standing there on a constant basis, but rather comes and goes on we'll say an inconsistent or temporary from time to time basis. V'im shochat, if the kusi did shecht under such circumstances where there was no, you did not have the Yisrael omeid al gabov, but rather there was simply a yotzei v'nichnas situation or not even that, we say chotech kezayas boser v'nosei lo. The test will be then by cutting out a piece of meat that he shechted and giving it to the kusi. Ochlo mutter lecho m'shchitah. So if the kusi eats from it, then that's a sign that it's really kosher, that it was shechted properly, because we know that the kusi is someone who is concerned with himself. So therefore, if he himself eats it, it's okay. Lo achlo, if the kusi does not eat from it, asur lechol mishchita, so then one will not be able to eat from his shchita. So far, we've explained how Kol Shochtin, the opening phrase, L'chadchilo, means that L'chadchilo, if you have a Kusi doing the slaughtering and a Yisrael is standing over him, watching him, then that's fine. We also explained Ushchitos and Kshero means that, well, if the Kusi shechted without the Yisrael Omeid Al Gabov, if you gave him a piece of the meat that he slaughtered and he ate from it, then that's okay. Then it's, we call that good b'di'evid. However, if he doesn't eat from it, then one cannot eat from it. The Mishnah went on to say, Chutz mecheres shoyte v'katon. The cheres shoyte v'katon are excluded. The afilu di'evid nami lo. In other words, just prior to this phrase, we were speaking about a post facto acceptance of the shechita. And when it comes to the cheres shoyte v'katon, the Mishnah says, except for them, where even on the post facto level, it's not accepted. Why not? Shemo Yishu, Shemo Yidrusu, Shemo Yachlidu. They are considered incompetent, and therefore, we suspect they may have delayed in their shechita. That's Yishu. They may have done a downward pressure motion, which is not acceptable. That's Yidrusu. Shemo Yachlidu, they may have inserted the knife under the surface of the skin and cut the trachea and esophagus in that fashion, with the knife being hidden under the surface of the skin. The Mishnah also mentioned the Kulon Sheshachtu, and others were watching them. The Mishnah made a reference using a pronoun, saying it's all of them that shechted, and others were watching them. The Mishnah said, Shechitos and Kshera. The question is, who is this pronoun referring to? Ahei. On what is it going? If it's going on those inepts, those incompetents, those that were mentioned just before this phrase, then it's not reasonable, or it's not acceptable or not proper to use the term the kulon, because alo koi, on them, on that group, this phrase already is attached. And therefore, the im shachtu miboyale, the proper grammatical expression would have been, and if they shechted. Therefore, the kulon has to be explained as referring to someone else, other than the cheri shoyte v'katan. Ela, akusi. So the closing phrase of the Mishnah, the kulon sheshachtu v'achem ro'en osan, the Mishnah said, shchitosan shera, that may be referring to the Kusi, who was mentioned earlier, or alluded to earlier. But the Gemara says, well, if it's referring to that, Ho Amris, Kishisrael Omid Agavov, Shochit Afilu Lechatchila. If you have a case of Achirim Roen Oysam, which is the equivalent of someone watching over, that's Yisrael Omeid Al Gabov, Kulan Rono, so it's the same thing, it's good even L'chatchilo. But the Mishnah at this closing point says that Shechitasan Kshero, using a B'di'evet phrase. So it's not likely that this the Kulan is referring to the Kusi either. Kashya, this remains a difficulty. This word Kashya has been dashed, underlined. We will find its use later at the bottom part of Gimel Amadeus, when the Gemara reviews all of the five Shitos. The Gemara will point out that Shitas number 1 and 5 don't accept 2, 3, and 4 as we go on, because as we go on under the explanations offered by Abaye, Rava number 3 and 4, Rav Ashi, each one of them will have a difficulty in explaining this closing phrase of the Mishnah. That's good reason why others, namely Rabba Bar Ula and Ravina 1 and 5 respectively, do not accept these explanations. As we go on in the Gemara, Rava asks on Abaye's approach. Abaye's approach, not necessarily to the explanation of the structure of the Mishnah, but rather the halacha that Abaye mentioned. Abaye had mentioned that the Kusi under Yotze v'Nichnas circumstances is not good l'chatchila. Namely, if you have a Kusi who is not being supervised constantly, but rather someone is a Jew is going in and out at odd times, namely not on a fixed basis, but rather Yotze v'nichnas, he's not posted there permanently. Abayik said that the Kusi should not shecht. Omar Rava, the Yotze v'nichnas l'chathilo loy. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That can be aligned with the arrow above, where the line had, where the Gemara had said, Avo Yotze v'nichnas lo yishchot. Here, we're asking on that point, is that really so, that Yotze v'nichnas is not good l'chathilo? The Gemara goes on with a Tanaic source. You can see the framed section indicates in our Gemara markings that we are about to learn something of a Tanaic nature. It says, it quotes a Mishnah from Maseches Avodah Zorah, Haminiach Oyvei Kechovah Bechanuso. If a person leaves an idol worshipper in his wine shop, Bechanuso, in our context, is a place where wine is being sold. And wine, it should be pointed out, is something very sensitive on a halachic basis when it comes to contact with an idol worshipper. The contact of a non-Jew with kosher wine will in effect render it unfit for Jewish consumption. So one who leaves a Gentile in his wine store, the Yisrael Yotze v'nichnas, and a Jew is going in and out, once again we said on a itinerant basis, he's not permanently there. Mutter, the wine is kosher. What do we see from here? We see that Yotze v'nichnas serves as a sufficient level of supervision. So this is a kasha on Abaye. Abaye will answer, Hasam mi kotoni meniach. Over there, in the case of the wine, does it say one should leave the Gentile there, indicating a lechatchila level of acceptance? No, hameniach kotoni. The expression grammatically hameniach was a reference to one who happened to leave a Gentile there. That equals dieved. That indicates something that's good only on a post facto basis. Ela mehacha. From the following, what do we see? We have another source. It says, Ein hashomer tzorich lios yoshev u'mishamer. The guard of wine doesn't have to be seated there on a fixed basis. Elo apapi she yotze v'nichnas muter. Even if he's yotze v'nichnas, it is good. We see from here that yotze v'nichnas is a suitable method of supervision on a lechatchila basis. Elo omar Rava. This brings Rava to a third approach. Hachi kotani. Thusly, we should understand our opening Mishnah. Hakol shochtin v'afilu kusi. Everyone can shecht even the kusi. Bamed v'mumurim kishisrael yotze v'nichnas. And here Rava is applying the principle that he just pointed out in his questioning Abaye. He applies it to the Mishnah, that Yotze v'nichnas, the itinerant appearance of a supervisor, is sufficient when it comes to the shechita of a kusi on a lechatchila basis. Avol, the next level of the Mishnah, the shechitos and kshira, will be explained immediately. Avol bo u'motzoi sheshochat, if someone came with a kusi having shechted by himself without any form of supervision, then chotech kezayis boser v'nosein lo, we cut out a piece of meat of the animal he slaughtered and present it to the kusi. Ochlo mutur le'achol m'shritaso. Here we're explaining the eved point of the Mishnah, that if he had shechted by himself and we give him a piece of that meat and we see the kusi eats it, then we say that the shechita is acceptable. And as we mentioned before, the kusi, even though he is a character that is not exactly scrupulous in his halachic observance, but when it comes to matters concerning himself, he will be very careful. And therefore, if he eats the meat, that indicates that the meat is quite all right, that he did a good shechita. Lo achlo, if he does not eat from it, then osur l'achol m'shritaso, his resistance showing us that there is a problem. And as we've done already on previous occasions, Rava 2 explains the continuation of the Mishnah. Chutz mecheres shoyteh v'katan, those are excluded. Even afilu dieved nami lo, even post facto, we will not accept their shechita. Shemo yishu, shemo yidrusu, shemo yachlidu, as we explained before. V'kulon sheshachtu, ahei, the closing phrase of the Mishnah that mentioned that all of those, using a pronoun, all of them who shechted, if others saw them, their shechita is good, b'di'eved. What is that going on? If the closing phrase is suggesting that a cheresh shoyte v'katan who shechted under supervision, well, it's that their shechita would be okay. If that were so, well, Allah koi, the closing phrase of v'kulon is coming right on the heels of the direct mention of cheresh shoyte v'katan. And therefore, grammatically, ve'im shachtu mipoyale. The phrase should have been ve'im shachtu, not the kulon, not a repeat of them through the pronoun, but simply ve'im shachtu. We know who you're already talking about, so grammatically, it would have been sufficient to say ve'im shachtu, elo akusi. So maybe the v'kulon shachtu is referring back to someone mentioned earlier, or alluded to earlier, namely the kusi. Well, if that were the case, Ho Amris, we according to Rava's interpretation, Rava said Afilu Yosef Nichnas Shochet Lechatchila, even the itinerant supervision would have been sufficient, which is less than the case of Achirim Roin Osan. And the Mishnah mentions at the closing phrase that if you have someone with constant supervision, their shrita is good only with the Eved. And as far as Rav is concerned, a kusi with even a lesser level of supervision would have been good lichatchila as a first choice. Kashya. So once again, like we saw with Abaye's pshat, here too with Rava has difficulty explaining the kulon phrase at the end of the Mishnah. We again have dashed underlined kashya. As we explained earlier, this will be of benefit when we get to the end of Omid Beis. Rav Ashi Omar, a fourth approach to the Mishnah. Hachi Kotoni, Hakol Shochtin, V'afilu Yisrael Mumar. Everyone is acceptable as a Shochet, even, and the phrase is coming to include, even a Yisrael Mumar. Mumar is an expression associated with a knowing sinner, someone who sins knowingly. The term Mumar, though, is almost an umbrella expression with many different possibilities. Here the Gemara asks, Mumar Lamai, he is a sinner with regard to what? Le'echol nevelos l'te'avon. So we're saying this is a person who will eat. Nevelos is an expression referring to animals that did not receive a proper shechita. Animals that died or were shechted incorrectly. The animal is called a nevela. And te'avon means he eats nevela because he finds personal benefit from doing so. He is desirous of it. And we say that if he can't find something that's mutter, if he can't find kosher meat, he will just as easily eat in the absence of the kosher meat, he'll eat nevela. The Rashi explains further, four lines from the bottom, Lite Avon, Ki lo mashkach heter, when he can't find heter meat, Ochil nevelos, he will eat unslaughtered meat. Omeachar shahasakin beduka unesuna biyodo, once, though, we have a knife that's checked, meaning without notches, a smooth, sharp knife, or a, more accurately, a smooth, non-notched knife, and we give it to him, we hand him such a knife, Shochet Shapir, he will do a good shechita. The chokama de motzi lemechal atero lo ochel isura. That as long as he can consume something in an allowed fashion, he will not consume something in a forbidden fashion. V'chi ein lo sakin boduk. However, if he doesn't have a checked knife, a knife that's deemed appropriate for slaughtering, lo torach laduri boser sakin yafa. He won't trouble himself to seek out a good knife. Zu Peguma, the only knife that he has happens to be notched. So Rava is telling us that a Yisrael Mumar, a Jewish person who is a sinner, and at this point we're assuming that it means he is a sinner with regard to his kashrus observance, he is acceptable in doing the shechita, Uchida Rava, and as in accordance with Rava's teaching, the Omar Rava. Rava's teaching is a reference to another teaching of Rava. We're not referring to Rava that we saw in number 3, but an outside ruling of Rava. where Rava said Yisrael Mumar Ochel Nevelas Lete Avon. If you have a Yisrael Mumar who is a Mumar with regard to the eating of unkosher food, unkosher meat, Bodek Sakin V'Nosein Lo, one can check a knife out, making sure that it's smooth, free of any notches, and hence a knife that's suitable for shechita, presented to this mumar, umuter lechol mishchitaso. And under such circumstances, it will be muter lechatchila to eat from his slaughtering. That is the lechatchila situation described by the Mishnah. Let's review that point again. Hakol shochten, everyone is acceptable as a shochet. This phrase comes to include even a kusi upon being presented with a checked knife. Avol, now we go on to explain the b'di'eved level of the Mishnah. Lo bodak v'nosan lo, if a knife was not checked, lo yishchot, then we do not allow the kusi, the mumar, we do not allow the Yisrael mumar l'te'avon to shecht. The im shochan, well, if he did shecht, bodek sakino acharov, we will check the knife that he used after the shechita. Nimse sakino yofe, mutar lechol mishchitaso. If it turns out that the knife was smooth and suitable for shechita, then you can eat from his shechita. We can eat from the Yisrael Mumar's slaughtering. That's the b'di'eved of the Mishnah. This is post facto. Namely, he shechted without our knowing ahead of time that he had a good knife. We checked out the knife afterwards. It turned out to be okay. You can eat from the shechita. And that's, of course, in accordance with the principle we gave before, that this Yisrael Mumar Lechol Nevelos L'Te'avon, if presented with an opportunity to do things properly, he will do it properly. V'im Lav, however, if it turns out that the knife is not acceptable when we check it after he had slaughtered, then Osur Lechol Mishchitaso. And again, we explain the continuation of the Mishnah, where the phrase appeared chutz v'cher shet v'katan, with their exception, the afilu di'eved nami lo. Even with the eved, we do not eat from their shechita. And that means even if you found that the knife they used, the chayr shade of a cotton, was smooth and free, there are nevertheless other concerns that they do not know to be cautious of. The afilu di'eved nami lo shema yishu. There still is a fear of, even if he was using a good knife, he may have delayed while cutting the animal's simonim, the trachean esophagus. He might have paused. Shema yidrusu. He might have done a downward motion. The shema yachlidu. Or maybe allowed the knife to get hidden under the skin while the shechita was taking place. The Mishnah mentioned its closing phrase, V'kulon sheshachtu v'achem royin oison shechitasim k'sheira. Hey, what is that going on? I leimo acheri shechita v'katon. Well, as we said already a number of times before, that's not likely. Alo koi, the Mishnah was just talking about them right before this phrase, and therefore ve'im shachtu miboyalei. Grammatically, it should have used the expression ve'im shachtu if it was referring to the cheres shayde v'katan. Elo a Yisrael mumar. Rather, it's referring to the Yisrael mumar. E de bodak sakin. If once we're talking about Yisrael mumar, and we happen to have checked his knife, e de bodak sakin v'nosein lo. If we had checked the knife and given it to him at the outset, ho amri shochet lechatchila. Then we said his shechita would have been good as a lechatchila choice, and not as the closing part of the Mishnah says that shechitasen shera, meaning something good only with the eved. So what is the closing phrase referring to? Elo delo bodak. So it must be that we're talking about a Yisrael mumar who shechted without our having checked the knife ahead of time. Well, if that be the case, e de'isei l'sakin, if the knife is around, livdekei hashta, check it out right now. V'e de'lesei l'sakin, and if the knife is not around, then ki achirim royin oisoi mai have. Even if as the Mishnah teaches at the end, that others were watching him. So what? How can you say Shvitas and Kshera? Dilmo Besakin Peguma Shochet. Maybe he used a knife that had a notch in it, and hence a knife that wasn't good. So that even though others were watching his action, they didn't check the knife, and the knife is not around, so how can you say that his Shechita would be good even b'di'evet? Kashya. This remains a difficulty. In other words, once again, this is already the third explanation we've seen, running into a difficulty trying to explain that closing phrase. Ravina Omar. You'll notice we have labeled Ravina number-wise as 5 Aleph. This is because there is another version of Ravina presented later, which we will call Beis. And that you can see is halfway down the page, there's a squiggle underlined expression, V'ika D'Amri, indicating there are those that learn Ravina otherwise in a different fashion. So, Ravina Omar, Hochi Kotani. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. Hakol Shochtin, the opening of the Mishnah that says everyone can Shecht. Hakol Mumchin Shochtin, everyone that we know to be knowledgeable of the halachas of Shechita, can Shecht. Mumchin V'afalpi She'ein Muchzakin. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is, as long as we know that they know the halachas of Shechita, even if they're not muchzakim. Rashi explains in the upper part of the page, V'afalpi she'ein muchzakim, shelo shachatu lefanenu shlosh pa'amim. They have not shechted in front of us 3 times. 3 is a number that establishes a status, a chazaka. So even if they haven't slaughtered 3 times in front of us, lirois im yesh lahem koyach, to reveal to us that they have the capacity, she'enon misalfin b'shechita, that they don't faint while slaughtering, which involves the spewing forth of blood and the passing of life. She'avo lidei she'a, that if they would be faint in their physicality, this would result in a possible delay while the shechita is taking place, a pausing. Or we don't know, we haven't seen them shecht, and we don't know whether they know how to control their hands and direct their hands in the right motion. So we are saying that Hakom Mumchin Shochin, anyone that we know to be knowledgeable of Hichas Shechita, even though they're not Muchzakin, even though we haven't seen them Shech 3 times, so we don't know on the physical side of these individuals if they're really capable of Shechting, nevertheless, their Shechita is Kshera. So that we can say that if you know someone to be knowledgeable of Hichas Shechita, of the laws of Shechita, he can shech lichatchila, even though we may be lacking other information about the individual. Bamed mamumurim, when is it that we consider them mumchin, that we consider them expert, now in law, sheyoidin boy, sheyoidea loymar hilchas shechita, that we know that he can recite the laws of shechita. In other words, that we checked him out. That's what Rashi says. Bamed Vomurim, reading the Rashi, he says, the Chashivi Mumchen, from when, under what circumstances is it that we consider someone a Mumche? Sheyodin bo, Elu hamoysum lo behemo lishchot, that those that give him an animal to shecht know about him, makirin bo, ubotkuhu, sheyodea, hilchashchita, they are familiar and know, as a result of checking him out, that he knows the laws of shechita. Avol, Ein Yodin Bo Shiodea Loma Hilcha Shechita. However, if you have an individual that you don't know for sure, you don't know either way, you simply are in the state of the unknown with regard to his knowledge of Shechita, Lo Yishchot, such a person should not Shecht. The Im Shochat, if he did Shecht, if he did do a slaughtering, then post facto, Bodkinoso, we investigate, we check him out, we question him. If he knows how to recite the laws of slaughtering, muter lechom shchitasa, then it's aksen b'di'eved, then having been done already, and his now ability, having the ability to recite the halachas of shchita, we can eat from his slaughtering. That's what we mean by the b'di'eved of the Mishnah. The im lav, if he slaughtered
and he cannot recite the laws of Shechita, Osir Le'achol Meshechitasa, then one cannot eat from his meat. Chutz Mecheri Shoyte V'Katan, this was the phrase that appeared in the Mishnah, and we say regarding them, De'afilu Di'eved Nami Lo, even on a Di'eved level, we do not accept their Shechita. Rashi says, De'afilu Di'eved V'Yoydin Hilchus Shechita Loi, we still do not eat from them, even if they can say the laws of Shechita. The Tomid Heim Muchsokim L'Kalkel She'em Bohem Das, they have a status of those that will ruin things. So we say, even the Eved Nami Lo Shemo Yishu Shemo Yidrusu V'Shemo Yachlidu, that even though they can verbalize the laws of Shechita, nevertheless in practice the suspicion is very great that they may pause, may do a downward motion, or hide the knife while slaughtering. Hide the knife, meaning slipping it under the surface of the skin while cutting the neck organs. The Mishnah used the phrase, the kulon sheshachtu, and we said if all of those who shechted and others were watching them, so b'di'eved the shechita is okay. Ahei, who is this going on? Ilemo achirish shechita v'katan, if you're saying it's referring to those, well, Allah koi, they were mentioned just immediately before this, and therefore grammatically v'im shechtu mibayalei, that would have been the more appropriate term. But yet the Mishnah uses v'chulan, elo ashein mumchin, it would refer to those that we are not familiar with their knowledge of Shechita. Those who we don't know what they know. If that be the case, Bebodkin Oso Sagi, it would have been enough then just simply to subject them to a test. You don't need to have others watching him. The Gemara answers, the Mishnah is saying that if they shechted, meaning the non-mumchen shechted, and others saw, their shechita would be okay. That's because the lesse lekamon delivdeke, he is not around in order to be checked. So if you have someone that was an eino mumche, someone concerning whom we did not know his level of knowledge regarding laws of shechita, and he happens to be, he's gone, he's not around for us to test him out, the Mishnah says if others saw him shecht, we can rely on that. V'ika the amri. Now, another version of Ravina. Ravina Omar, Hochi Kotani. Thusly, the Mishnah is meant to be understood. Hakol Shochtin means, it comes to include, Hakol Muchzokin Shochtin. Muchzokin Afopi She'ein Mumchin. Let's turn to the Rashi regarding this. The term muchzokim, Rashi says, shiroinu sheshochtu kama pomim yofe velo kilkulu, people that we have seen to shecht a few times in our presence, and they shechted without any mess up. We say those kind of people can shecht lichatchila, even though they're ein mumchin, meaning even though we don't know their level of knowledge concerning hilchos shechita. When is it that we can say that someone is considered a muchzak? They have shechted in front of us two or three times, v'lo nis'alef, and he did not experience faintness. Aval lo shachat lefaneinu shnayim shlosha pamim, if however we have a person that did not shecht in our presence a couple of times, lo yishchot shemo yisalef, then at the outset lechatchila he should not shecht, because he may be one of those that experiences faintness during the sight of blood. Ve'im shochad, if someone like this that we did not, that was not muchzak in front of us, that we did not know ahead of time, but he happened to shecht anyway, the Omar, and he said, bori li shelo nisalafti, he says in an unequivocal fashion, with certainty, he says, I did not experience faintness. Shechitos of Shera, that's what we mean by the Bedi'eved of the Mishnah. His Shechita then, post facto, upon his telling us that he is certain that he did not experience ilafon, faintness, his Shechita is acceptable. The Mishnah also mentioned Chutz Mecheri Shoyte V'Katan, those being an exception, De'afilu Di'eved Nami Lo, even post facto, we will not accept their shechita. Shemo Yishu, Shemo Yidrusu, v'Shemo Yachlidu. The kulon sheshachtu ahe, the closing phrase of the Mishnah, who is that referring to? Ilemo acheri sheita v'katan, alokoi. Well, they were just referred to in the Mishnah right before this. And grammatically, v'im shachtu mibayale. The more acceptable term would have simply been v'im shachtu. And yet the Mishnah uses a pronoun, v'chulon. Elo, ashe'ein muchzakim. It's referring to that which was alluded to earlier in the mission, namely those that we don't know for sure whether they, you know, we are referring to those that have not shechted in front of us two or three times. They're not muhsak. But regarding them, didn't we say vamis babori li sagi? Isn't it enough to have them express mention concerning themselves that it is clear to me, I know for sure I did not experience faintness, that is sufficient. And yet the Mishnah tells us that if you have an anal musuk and others were watching him, it's okay. You don't need to have the others having watched him. It would have been sufficient for him to say, Bori li shalonis alafti. The Gemara says, the closing phrase of the Mishnah is referring to a circumstance, the lesei lekamon de leshaile, the shochet himself, that was an eno muhsik, is not around in order for us to question him whether he experienced faintness or not. So under such circumstances, if others watched him and saw that he did a proper shechita, that is sufficient. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice a series of triangles that appear. We have a note on the outside margin, the Mivneh. The triangles represent Sidra Shel Hezberim, a series of explanations. Lama kol echad lo hisbir es ha-mishnah kechavero. Why each one did not explain the Mishnah like the other. We have seen till this point five names. If you count Ravina as two explanations, that would be six explanations to understanding of the Mishnah. To quickly review in a very brief fashion what each one said, Rabba Bar Ula spoke about the Mishnah saying Tomei is acceptable in the doing the Shechita. Abaye spoke about a Kusi and Yisrael Omid Al Gabov. Rava spoke about a Kusi and a Yisrael Yotze V'Nichnas. Rav Ashi spoke about a Yisrael Mumer, and Ravina Aleph spoke about all those that are Mumchen, knowledgeable of Hilchos Shechita, and the second version Ravina had anyone that's Muchsak, that we have seen do a Shechita. Turning now to the Gemara, Ravina V'Rava Barula, these numbers that are written above the names represent their position in the explanations. Ravina was the fifth, and Rava Barula was the first. So 1 and 5 do not say pshatim like Ka'abaye V'Rava V'Rav Ashi. Numbers 2, 3, and 4, Lo Amri, meaning they do not say like them. Mishum the Kashya Lahu V'Chulon. Explanations 2, 3, and 4 did not successfully explain the closing phrase of the Mishnah, the v'chulon, the pronoun, to whom was it referring when it said, and all of them that shechted and others were watching them, their shechita would be good, be the eved. Once again, 2, 3, and 4 could not explain that successfully. And as we mentioned in our shiur earlier, if you skim back in the Gemara, and you'll notice the word kashio, that's dashed underlined, and you will see that at the conclusion of the pshatim 2, 3, and 4, that kashio was coming as a result of trying to seek an answer, a hesper, an explanation for that expression, v'chulon sheshachtu. And in each case, it ended off with kasha, meaning that, in fact, it is a difficulty. So, pshatim 2, 3, and 4 could not explain it. That's grounds or reason enough for Rabba Bar Ula and Ravina not to accept their approach, the approach of 2, 3, and 4. Continuing in the survey of the Shitos, Kulu Karabo Bar Ulo Lo Amri, they all, numbers, explanations 2 through 5, did not say, like Rabba Bar Ulo, who spoke about a Tome involved with Shechita. Now, Rabba Bar Ulo, just to review in slightly greater detail, spoke about someone who was Tome. He said, Ken Lechatchilo Shecht Chulin, and the B'dievet of the Mishnah spoke about a Tomei regarding Shechita in the context of Shechita of Korbanos.
That was Rabba Bar Ula's explanation of the Mishnah. The others don't like his explanation. Under Rabba Bar Ula, the Gemara had mentioned two approaches as to regarding the question of the seeming redundancy, according to his pshat, that our Mishnah is dealing with Tomei Bekotchim, when the Mishnah in Zvachim also deals with the issue of Tomei Shechting Kotchim, someone who is ritually impure, Shechting sacrifices. The Gemara had raised this problem as, what do I need two Mishnayos to deal with the same topic? The Gemara had mentioned answers, two different approaches, one suggesting that our Mishnah was the main source for this information and Zvachim was taught parenthetically, and the other approach saying that the Zvachim Mishnah is the main source and our Mishnah is teaching the issue as in a by-the-way fashion. So that's as far as Rabba Bar Ula's own pshat. The others don't like his pshat. The Gemara says, Kulu k'Rabba Bar Ula lo amri. Lahach lishna the amris. According to the first explanation that was given in answering the issue of the redundancy that said, Hocha ikur, that wanted to say that our Mishnah in Chulin is the main source regarding Tomei Bekotchim, they don't like his approach, because adarabba hosam ikur de bekotchim koi, they will tell you that the main source for tomei bekotchim is maseches Zvachim, and there is no need to make any mention of it over here. That, of course, is not like the way Rabba Bar Ula explained things. So they don't accept his explanation, once again, because according to them, there would be no need to make any reference to Tomei Bekotchim in our Mishnah in Maseches Chulin, which has nothing to do with Korbanos. Lahach Lishnu Da'amris, the other approach in justifying Rabba Bar Ula that said, Hosam Iker, that the Mishnah in Zvachim really was the main source, the Hocha here in Chulin, Aidi de Tonatome Bechulin, Tonanami Tomei Bekotchim, since the Mishnah is speaking about a Tomei Shechting, mundane, common meat, it also happens to mention a Tomei slaughtering, a sacrificial meat. Well, Tomei Bechulin Gufei, Lo Itzdirichalei. They will say, namely explanations 2 through 5, all of those Rabbonin will say, the issue of Tomei, Shechting Chulin, doesn't need to be taught in the first place. Why did Rabba Bar Ula say it needed to be taught? Well, he said, because the Mishnah was referring to a case of Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, and such chulin that is prepared as if it were holy is treated as holy, as holy, and therefore there is a chiddush in telling me that a tomei can shecht such chulin provided he uses a long knife. They, on the other hand, will say as follows: chulin shenasu al taras kodesh lav kekodesh domu. Someone who thinks that he's going to treat his mundane as if it's kodesh, and that would be binding upon him. That is simply not so. It's not. It doesn't take hold. It's not binding, and therefore it's so obvious. If chulin shenas al taras kodesh is not considered kodesh, it's obvious that a tomei is allowed to shecht chulin. There isn't any grounds for thinking otherwise. Therefore, they don't accept Rabba Bar Ula's approach to our Mishnah. Once again, according to Rabba Bar Ula, there was a chiddush in the opening phrase of the Mishnah, being that he understood the Mishnah as referring to a tomei that's shechting chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. They, on the other hand, say chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is a non-starter. Kulhu keravino lo amri. The Pshatim 1 through 4 don't accept Ravina. Bear in mind, Ravina had two approaches. There was 5 Aleph and Beis, Ravina being number 5. They do not accept his approach. So, Lahach Lishna the Omar Mumchin in She'ein Mumchin Lo, according to Ravina, that said that the Lechatchila explanation of the Mishnah is only if you know that he is knowledgeable of Hilchas Shechita. If you don't know for sure that he is knowledgeable, he won't be allowed to Shecht. they will say, Roiv mitsuyin etzo shchita mumchenhein. The majority of those that are involved with slaughtering, we assume to be mumchen. And as Rashi says, there is no need to check them out. According to Ravina, there is a need to check someone out before he engages in shchita. They, Pshatim 1 through 4, will say, we assume them to be mumchen by the mere fact that they are taking a knife in hand and engaging in shchita. Lehach lishna di Omar, according to the second version of Ravina that said, muhzokin in she'en muhzokin loy, when can someone shecht lechatchila? Only if we have seen him shecht already two or three times beforehand and did a good job. Pshatim 1 through 4 say, la'alufi lo chayshinan. We don't suspect, we are not worried about the faintness issue to begin with. So that as far as we are concerned, says Pshatim 1 through 4, we would allow someone to shecht lichatchila, even if we don't have foreknowledge of his being muhzak. Rava lo omar ke'abaye ki kushye. Rava, who said that a kusi can shecht on under yotzei v'nichna circumstances, doesn't go as far as Abaye. Abaye, who said that the kusi can shecht only if you have a source of constant supervision. The reason is ki kushye, based on his own question. Rava questioned Abaye from the source of leaving an akum in a store of wine. And we saw that there yotzei v'nichnas was sufficient. Therefore, even lechatchila. Abaye lo omar kirova. Abaye, who insisted on constant supervision and was not willing to rely on yotzei v'nichnas, Abaye doesn't say like Rava, who relied on yotzei v'nichnas. Well, hasam lo noga. In the case of the supervision in a store, there was no physical contact between the idol worshiper and the wine. Hacha, in the case of the kusi doing the shchita, noga, he's in physical contact with the meat. Therefore, you need to have a higher level of supervision. And that's why Abaye doesn't say like Rava, who was allowing a lower level of supervision. Rav Ashi lo omar kitravayu. Rav Ashi, who spoke about the Yisrael Mumar, he does not say like Abaye nor Rava. Kosovar, because Rav Ashi is of the opinion, kusim geire aroyos hein. The kusim are, their initial conversion was based on a fear of lions. In other words, their conversion at the very outset was for sure a non-acceptable conversion. And as a result of that, they are no different in Rav Ashi's eyes than an idol worshiper. And as such, their shchita is fundamentally flawed. It is like that of an Oved Kochavim. And an Oved Kochavim, his shchita is not acceptable to begin with. Abaye lo omar ki Rav Ashi, lo sviro lei ha derava. Abaye doesn't hold like Rav Ashi, because Abaye does not hold from Rava's approach. Rava's approach in explaining Rav Ashi had been that a mumar can shecht l'chadchila through the checking of his knife. If you check the knife of the mumar and it's free of notches, you can give a knife that's free of notches to a mumar and he can shecht l'chadchila. Abaye does not accept that. Elo Rava, my taima lo omar kishmaitse. Why is it that Rava, he offered an explanation, but his explanation surrounded the issue of the kusi? Why did he not give the explanation when he appeared in terms of the Yisrael Mumar? Namely, that just like Rav Ashi said, a Yisrael Mumar can shecht l'chadchila if you give him initially a knife that's checked and free of notches. And he could have gone on to explain the B'dievet situation where a Mumar had shechted without a checked knife. if you check it subsequently and it's found to be free, then that would explain the b'di'evet that the shechita is kosher. So the question here is, what was Rava doing in position number three, offering an explanation based on the issue of a kusi and Yisrael yotze v'nichnas, when he could have explained it based on his own halacha that we saw featured in the explanation of Ravashi? The Gemara answers, Lidvorov de Abaye Ka'omar, Vale lo svira le. Let's now turn to the Rashi to explain this this answer. Lidvorov de Abaye. Rava was coming to explain, or as a response to Abaye. Rava in position three wasn't explaining the Mishnah as he himself would want to explain the Mishnah, but rather he was answering Abaye on his terms. He was explaining Ludvar of Abaye, the low svira le hadarava. Abaye, who we saw just a few lines before, doesn't hold by Rava's true explanation of the Mishnah, namely in terms of Yisrael Mumar. Abaye didn't want to rely on giving a checked knife to a Yisrael Mumar and having him shek l'chatchila. And as a result of that, the ukma bekusi, Abaye therefore set up the Mishnah in terms of a kusi shechting l'chatchila, provided he has constant supervision. The uki l'chatchila b'Yisrael omed al gabov, and Abaye set up the Mishnah of a kusi shechting l'chatchila if a Yisrael is omed al gabov. The uki di'evin, he Abaye explained the di'evin situation by yotzei v'nichnas with the itinerant supervision. The omar le Rava, and Rava at that point said to Abaye, l'didcha delo sviras loch b'mumar, you who don't want to explain the Mishnah like I would explain the Mishnah in terms of a Yisrael Mumar, u'mukmas le hachi, and you set it up the Mishnah in terms of a kusi. Well, if you're talking about a kusi, then afilu b'yotze v'nichnas motzis l'ukma l'chadchila, you could have set up the l'chadchila situation with yotze v'nichnas supervision as sufficient, even l'chadchila. U'di'evet uki b'bo motzo sheshochad, and the di'evet situation would have been where you came and noticed he had shechted already. That's what Rava was doing in position number three. Once again, Rava's own explanation of the Mishnah would really have been in terms of the Yisrael Mumar, and as we explained, L'chadchila, if you give him a knife at the outset, and the Dieved, if you had checked his knife post facto. But in number three, Rava was not giving his own explanation to the Mishnah, but rather attacking Abaye in his attempt to explain the Mishnah through the case of the Kusi and Yisrael Omeid al-Gabov. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that continues till the top of Dalet Omed Aleph. Based on this Tanaic source, Abaye and Rava develop their ideas with regard to the need for a supervision of Omeid al-Gabov, or if Yotze v'nichnas would have been sufficient. So the source begins, Shchitas kusi muteres. The slaughtering done by a kusi is acceptable, Bamed v'mamurim kish Yisrael omeid al-gabov, provided there is constant supervision. Avol bo u'motzo sheshochad, if one came and found that a kusi happened to have already shechted, without having constant supervision over him, chotech kazayas v'nosei lo, one cuts out of kazayas of meat, kazayas is an olive quantity of meat, and gives it to the kusi. Ochlo mutalecho mishritaso, if the kusi eats from it, then you can eat from the meat as well. V'im lav, if the kusi does not eat from it, osur lecho mishritaso. Kayotze bo, similarly, motzo biodo dakuria shel tziporim, if one finds a dakuria, two pshatim on this word, Rashi says it would be a type of rope with birds attached to them, a type of chain of slaughtered birds. According to Tosfos, dakuria is a basket full of slaughtered birds. Kotea rosho shel echad mehem v'nosein lo, you remove the head of one of the birds and give it to the kusi. Ochlo mutu lecho mishritaso, if he eats from that, then you can eat the rest of the birds. V'im lav, osur lecho mishritaso.
And if he doesn't eat from what you gave him, you can't eat from the rest of the birds. This source, as we just saw, spoke about a kusi who was engaged in slaughtering. Abaye diek mireisha, rava diek misefa. Abaye makes his gains his legal conclusion from careful reading of the reisha. If you look at Rashi at the top, Abaye de Omar Liel yoytze v'nichlas l'chatchila lo shirinan gabi shchita diek mireisha. Abaye, who said before, in his original explanation, that Yotzei v'nichnas is not sufficient to allow shchita lechatchila, but on the part of a kusi, he derives that from the reisha. Rashi goes on, the rava, the shari, rava that allows Yotzei v'nichnas diek miseifa, the lo matzrich tana bediko elohecho debo motzo, the tana requires checking out only in the case where you happen to find him having shechted on his own. But if you had prior Yotzei v'nichnas supervision, according to Rava, as he learns this source, that would have been good lechatchila. Now, the Gemara. Abaye diek mireisha. You notice we've used this double underline with dots in it and explained in the outside margin under the Mivne heading that this is used to highlight the phrases Abaye diek mireisha and Rava diek miseifa. Abaye diek mireisha. Taimo. Now, that means, once again, Abaye came to his conclusion that you need to have Yisrael omeid agavov, constant supervision in the case of a kusi doing the shechita. He sees from this source, taimo the Yisrael omeid agavov. The reason that the kusi's shechita was good, was muteris, is because there was supervision. You'll notice we have a little arrow in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a little gimel amid beis indicator. That means glance down at gimel amid beis toward the bottom. You will notice the second line from the bottom, an arrow with a dalet amid aleph indication, showing that this point where we are holding now is coming from there. And at that point it had mentioned that the kusi's shechita is good because she's still omid agabov. So in emphasizing that, Abaye says the reason the kusi's shechita is deemed acceptable is because there was constant supervision. Aval yotzei v'nichnas lo, had there been merely this itinerant supervision, it would not have been sufficient to allow it lechatchila. Rava, on the other hand, diek miseifa. Rava, who said that yotzei v'nichnas would be good lechatchila, he derives this from the latter part of the source. And that is, what did we see in the latter part of the source? Namely, also second line from the bottom, it mentioned bo umotzo sheshochat. That's a case where you came in and found that the kusi had shechted by himself. And we say over there that you have to subject him to the test of, will he eat from the meat? So the Gemara says, time of the bo umotzo sheshochat, that's why you have to subject him to the test. Will he eat from the meat or not? Aval yotzei v'nichnas shapir domi. If there was supervision, even on a yotzei v'nichnas basis, that would have been good as a lechatchila method of allowing his shechita, even without subjecting the kusi to some further test. Ulabaye kashio seifa, according to Abaye, who says you need to have omeid agabov, is it not so that the seifa presents a problem for him? Omar loch, Abaye will tell you, yoytze v'nichnas nami ba umotzo kori lei. He refers to the yoytze v'nichnas level of supervision as being no better than having come in and found him to have shechted post facto. Therefore, as far as Abaye is concerned, the expression bo umotzo will include the case of yotzei v'nichnas as being only good b'di'eved. Ulo rava kashya reisha. According to Rava, is it not so that the reisha presents a problem? In other words, Rava, who said that yotzei v'nichnas itinerant supervision is sufficient, the reisha though said that the kusi is allowed only if you have constant supervision. So Omar loch, Rava will tell you, yoytze v'nichnas nami ke'oymed al gabov domi. The fact that someone is coming in on an itinerant basis every now and then, that is so good, it's sufficient, it's no worse than a constant level of supervision. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.